on retreat with the sisters in Nashville. Oh my goodness. You're so beautiful. I knew going down there that it would be an experience, but they really are something else. They truly are so dedicated, so wonderful, and an example to all of us. A great example to priests, I think. One reality of their community is their dedication to both work and to prayer, to word and to deed. This is something that the Benedictines also do well. Their motto even is Ora et Labora, work and prayer. And in this, they have a balanced life. They pray, and then they work. They pray and work. And in that, between them, there is great happiness. There is peace, not perfect peace, but there is genuine community, something that all of us are in need of. When St. Paul speaks to the Corinthians, he is inviting them to think of themselves as one body, to recognize that even though it may be difficult, that we are meant to be together as one, that the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ himself, is the one who keeps us together. He is the one who unites us. And by returning to the Word of God, we are then able to be refreshed, be renewed in our commitment to that unity, to recognizing that Christ is all in all. Returning to the Word again and again, and then going out for action, returning to the Word, prayer and work, all of this comes together in a very neat way. But that is the Christian life. We are united by the Word, and we go out and we proclaim the Word. Words have meaning. We know that intrinsically because it's how we communicate. It's how we recognize the truth. We speak words, and those words are recognized for the meaning that they have. And yet, oftentimes, what the world tries to do is twist the meaning of words, to contort the meaning, to diminish our capacity to trust one another. In a sense, the world uses words that mean something along the lines of a round square. The words fit together, the words by themselves make sense, but a round square does not exist. It cannot exist. It's contradictory to itself. The Word of God, however, is whole and entire, something to return to time and again. In fact, the Holy Father has dedicated this Sunday, the third Sunday of ordinary time, as a day, a Sunday in particular, to return to the Word of God, to recognize the Word of God, to look for ways in which we too can incorporate Scripture more fully into our lives. And so we read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can get a Bible. It's still the single greatest selling book in all of human history. And I highly encourage you to get a Bible. And to read it. I'm reminded of a joke. Maybe I should tell it. A priest was invited over to dinner, and the husband and wife had a wonderful time. But afterwards, the wife says to the husband, "I think Father stole one of our knives, one of our nice knives from our set, you know, the silver ones." And the husband was like, no, of course not. Of course not. He wouldn't have done that. And they went back and forth, and they tried to figure it out for a year until a year later they have Father come back to their house for dinner. And the wife, she says, "Father, I just can't help. Did the last time you were here, did you take one of our knives?" And Father says, "No, I just hid it in your Bible." He hid it in their Bible. They hadn't found it yet. It's so much hidden in Scripture. We return to it time and time again because it's not just words
on a page. Oh, Eli is probably joking. We return to Scripture. It's not just words. It's not just words. It is action in our lives. In our first reading, we have Ezra, the priest, scribe. He is reading from a particular book that has been found. Anyone know what that book was? Bonus points in heaven. Nobody? It was Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. We believe in some degree, I mean, it sounds fantastical, but after the return from exile, it is understood that in the wreckage and the ruins of the temple, the book of Deuteronomy, which hadn't been used or heard of before, was found in the ruins of the temple. A buried treasure there for the people who had returned, who were suffering difficulty, who were suffering disunity in and of themselves, and they found this scroll of the book of Deuteronomy, and Ezra is reading it. And in a very Catholic manner, they're up and they're down, and they kneel, and they do all sorts of stuff, and they recognize that in this word is that which will lead them as a community, as a united community. Jesus, for his part, is the Word of God. Our gospel reading may have seemed a bit disconnected. It should have, because what we heard was the very beginning of the gospel and then something from chapter 3. Very disconnected. But what it's helping us to realize is that Luke, the gospel writer, apparently didn't like the other version. He wanted something that was exact and specific and verified. And so he set out to write his other version, the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote it for Theophilus. It's not written just for Theophilus. It's written for you as well. When Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah, he simply says, "This has been fulfilled in your hearing." And he goes and he sits down. It is fulfilled through him. It is fulfilled through the Word of God made flesh. And we are reminded of that time and time again. That the Word walked among us. That our lives make sense. Our community makes sense through the Word of God. Not because it's found here specifically, but because it's found in Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God made flesh. We find it in him. When I was with the sisters, we prayed the Angelus prayer a number of times. This prayer is a wonderful prayer that has been said throughout the history of the church for a long time. And it makes mention of how this connection between work, Word, prayer, and living it out is there together. One who says first, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, he spoke to Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Word and action. The angel spoke, Mary conceived. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Word. Action. Behold an action, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus Christ. When we return to Scripture, when we read Scripture, we return to Jesus Christ himself. Let us be the words of this holy book, this holy tradition that we have, return time and again, the word of